Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
I say hallelujah. I say shout glory to God. Of course, you know, we are in the last week. Give me a couple of minutes. We're in the last week of our series that we've been doing on dedication. Look at somebody say, I'm dedicated. Amen, amen. I know it's a lie for some of you, but I want you to say it by faith. Say, I'm dedicated.
I'm dedicated.
And say, I am committed.
I am committed.
Can you say it with a little more enthusiasm? Say, I am dedicated.
I am dedicated.
Say, I am committed.
I am committed.
Of course, you know, I shared with you on Friday how I'm ready for you to have some money. Aren't you ready to have some money?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm ready to have more money than I've ever had before in my life. And I don't know about you, but Friday I made a declaration that I'll never be broke. Another day in my life. Tell somebody, I don't know what poverty is. Say, I am rich. Let's try that again. You ain't hit that in your spirit yet. Say, I am rich. Say,
I'm daily loaded
with benefits. I got so much money. I got money to lead to my grandchildren. I am not affected by this economy because the blessing is on my life. But I talked about how there's a commitment that you have to do, that it's one thing to say it, but if you're really going to see the manifestation of it, you got to stick with it. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Very quickly. Nehemiah chapter 2. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father Sobukos, that I may build it. Look at somebody and say, I'm all in.
I'm all in.
Tell somebody to say, I'm all in.
I'm all in.
This is very key, because if there's going to be a change, if you're going to see a manifestation of any promise or anything that you believe in God for in your life, you got to stay committed. And commitment cannot just be a word, but it got to be something that you are completely committed to. That's something I said to you, that commitment is not a word. It is a process that requires a plan. If you're going to stay committed, you got to have a plan. Because anyone who fails to plan, guess what? Plans to fail. So whenever you're trying to make a commitment and do something different in your life, there's some things you got to do where you got to begin to short and cut and redo and remake and readjust. Because if I'm going to honor the commitment that I'm going to honor or see a change in my life, I got to make a plan. Somebody shout, make a plan.
Make a plan.
I shared with the service this morning how, of course, you know, here at KCC, we are drinking a gallon of water every day at least. Some of us are trying. Some of us ain't trying. But we are trying to drink at least a gallon of water every day. And a friend of mine called me and said, Prophet Karn, well, since I see you on this gallon of water challenge, he said, I got this supplement I want to send to you. And he mailed it to me. He said, it's a detox and it's going to cleanse your eye. Praise God. Hallelujah. Said, this thing going to cleanse your eye. I said, okay. He said, you just got to stay faithful with it and stay committed. Make sure you keep on drinking your water. Make sure you try to go walking. He said, but I'm telling you now, when you do this and this detox thing, I'm just telling you right now that you need to make sure you're near a bathroom, because it's, amen, it's coming out. And praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. So anyway, I've been drinking my water, and then I said, well, what time should I drink? He said, we drink about 3 o'clock. I said, okay. He said, you got church tonight? That was Friday night. He said, you got church Friday night? I said, yeah, I got church Friday night. He said, yeah, we drink about 3 o'clock. You should be fine. You should be fine. I said, okay. So long story short, I didn't drink it at 3. I drank it at 4. And but I was doing fine. Man, I was fine. I was preaching good. And I preached really good Friday night. Doing all right. But towards the end, y'all saw me walking a little slow. Hey, best, I ain't going to move too fast right now. Praise God. And as I walk a little though, hey, amen, I said, matter of fact, when the service, I said, Lord, I release that healing anointing in here. I said, there's a healing anointing falling right now. I'm the one who needed that healing. Praise God. Praise our God. There's a healing anointing falling right now. And I had to make adjustments because I'm committed to this detox. All right. So he said, this is what you got to do. And I said, okay, praise the Lord. And I started moving a little slow. And usually after service, we usually have another service where I go to singing a whole bunch of songs and we shout and we get happy. But soon as this service was over, you notice I didn't shake nobody's hand. I didn't speak to nobody. I was immediately gone. My grandma looked at me and said, "Where you going, hon?" I said, "Grandma, I got to go to the bathroom." Amen. Got to sit on the throne and tell God about it. Say amen. Amen. This yoke got to get destroyed up off of me. I got to get this burden lifted. Hallelujah. And I'll never be the same again. All right. But guess what? I'm committed to the detox process. So guess what I had to do? I had to come up with a plan. And some of you in here are ready for business and ready for things that happen in your life, but you don't have a plan. Look at somebody and shout, "Get a plan."
Get a plan.
Tell somebody else, "Get a plan."
Get a plan.
The adjustments that you have to make if you're going to see it. If you go to Nehemiah, the first chapter, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, look at what the word of God says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Achilia. And it came to pass in the month of Chislow in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. Come on, baby. That Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me, "The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Verse 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down. Guess what else I did? I wept. What else I did? Mourned certain days. What else I did? Fasted. And what else? Prayed before the God of heaven. So here's Israel. Israel is in a crisis. There's a national need that is going on. What is the national need? Go back to verse 3. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 3. Israel is in a national need. What is the national need? In the province, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great what?
Affliction.
And
reproach.
The wall of Jerusalem also is what? Broken down. Here's my people. My people are destroyed. And I said this to you. I've said this to you on Friday night, that you will not stay committed to anything unless you have emotional fuel. And that emotional fuel has to be a what? Why. Look at somebody shout, "You need a why." Tell somebody else, shout, "You need a why."
Need a why.
There's certain things that'll make you never go back to an abusive marriage. There's a why that should be in your life that'll make you keep going to work and keep being faithful and keep being committed even when you don't want to get up in the morning. You recognize, "I got children to take care of, all right? I got this, I need this, I want this." If you don't have a why, you won't stay committed. I don't mean this arrogantly. I don't mean this as a, I don't say this as a racist statement, but my why in my personal life, from what I saw in ministry, I saw white preachers and white preachers who you look up to and admire, and white televangelists and white men of God. And this is no slight, but I saw them use black preachers as house Negroes and exploit us and use our talents and use our gifts and get rich off of us and use us to entertain. You just think about it. Think about this. Think about the NFL. Think about it. We don't got no black owners in the NFL. It is full of people who are of other races, of other cultures. But guess who most of the NFL is full of? Black folk. Am I making sense? Same thing in basketball. Guess what they do? They use us. They pay you a little money. They pay you a little pennies. And you think you're rich. But they the one got the money. But they pay you enough to perform. And guess what? The minute they decide they don't like you no more, the minute they decide you're not giving them what they need anymore, the minute you don't perform like they want you to perform, guess what they're going to do? They'll cut you off. They'll get rid of your contract. Well, what was my why? My why was I never wanted to be subject to nobody who can pull and take away my wealth whenever I get ready. And the only way you do that is you create your own money. Come on, talk back to me in here. Slap somebody. Say, "I ain't waiting on nobody." I promise you, you sitting next to somebody that's Mormon, find somebody else and say, "I ain't waiting on nobody. I don't need nobody's permission to have money. If you won't give me none, I'll come up with my own money." They do everything. They do everything they can to destroy us as a people. They do everything they can to take everything away from us. Do y'all know that there was a time that there was a Black Wall Street? We had a Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we were rich. We were very blessed people. But guess what? They can't stand to see us with money. They can't stand to see us have money. So that's where you came up with race riots that were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they took everything away from us. We have always been a people of wealth. If you look up the oldest people and the richest man that ever lived, these are Ethiopian people. These are people from Egypt. We've always been people of wealth. Come on, go to Egypt. Look at the pyramids. They're full of gold, full of diamonds. Hallelujah. But go to Africa. That's where the real gold is. That's where the real money is. But guess what they do to us? They pay you enough to shut your mouth. But God's about to raise up some kings in here. God's about to, I feel something about to come in here. God's about to raise up some people that say, I'm not coming to take sides, but I'm getting ready to take over. Clap your hands if you're ready to take over. Look at that old broke clap. You clap like you broke. Tell somebody, I'm about to take over. Nehemiah responded to a national need. That's what we need in this hour. We need a voice. We need a voice that is not afraid to speak truth to power. Now let me tell you something. Let me see how much discernment y'all got. How much sense you got. Right now, they're trying to drive your children. Now they telling us that COVID-19 is spiking in Florida. It's spiking. Y'all listen to me. They tell y'all that COVID-19 is spiking in Florida. It's spiking in Texas. It's spiking in California. They told you that it's not going to get better, but it's going to get worse. But guess what they're trying to do? They're trying to rush you back to school. You want to know why they're rushing kids back to school? That's money. The government gets money. If there's no children in school, they don't have no way to fund the school to get no money. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to send them because we are bound. How about we come up with our own schools? How about we have our own education? How about we come up with our own curriculum where we call the shots and we make the demand? Look at somebody say, it's time to take over. He saw his people in trouble. He saw his people with a need. And that's what's wrong with us. We got to take over. Somebody got to see a need. You ought to see a need amongst your people. And don't just sit up and talk about Trump. This is not a Trump problem. We were broke before Trump got in office. Let me sit up there, Trump. You were broke with Obama. Talk to me in here. You've been broke with Clinton. You've been broke with Bush. Don't blame it on Trump. Blame it on your crab mentality. We're mad at Trump. Trump. Ain't no Trump problem. Is you crazy? He had a national need. And guess what he did? When he saw a national need, he answered that national response. He said, Lord, I got a problem with this. I don't like where my people are. I don't like what we are experiencing. You got to find something in your life that motivates you to change. I told you this morning, whatever you hate is your assignment. Whatever gets under your skin, whatever agitates you, is the thing that you've been assigned to correct. And once you correct it, that's your prosperity. Some people hate disorder. I mean, they can't stand disorder. Anybody like that? I mean, you can't handle it. You like stuff done two years in advance. You don't like spontaneity. Some people are spontaneous. You know, I wake up in the morning and say, I won't go to Japan. But a person who is a planner, where are we going? What are we doing when we get there? See, a person who's spontaneous with a person who's a planner, y'all gonna get on each other's nerve. It's true. But the planner is gonna pull something out of the person of spontaneity. The person of spontaneity is gonna pull something out of the planner. You gotta learn how not to focus on the difference. but to use the difference to your advantage. Wisdom is the ability, stay with me, wisdom, Mike Murdoch says, is the ability to know the difference. Let me break that down. If I'm spontaneous and he's a planner and I get in a crunch, the person who is a planner need to shut up and don't complain, because you are already in a crisis. You tense. You can't respond because you couldn't plan for this. But I'm used to dealing with controversy. Not yet. I'm used to dealing with crisis. I'm used to dealing with problems that pop up. So you just shut up and follow my lead. And don't be telling myself, if you would have planned it, we ain't got time to talk about that, because we're not there right now. Let me fix the problem. After I fix it, you can come back and say, next time. But I don't want to hear that right now. Amen? He had a need. He saw the need of his people and said, the only way I'm going to fix this is that I'm going to have to commit myself. And he said, the only way I'm commit myself, the Bible declares that Nehemiah had to give up his day job. He said, I cannot fulfill my assignment and work for somebody else. I cannot do what God wants me to do with divided attention. Can I preach? Are y'all listening to me? Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to make some adjustments. Think about it. Every person who ever became a let me tell y'all something. Y'all love Amazon. Amazon is convenient, ain't it? Don't be scared. Amazon convenient. Everybody got Amazon. Everybody. Amazon. So I'm gonna teach y'all in this class how every time you buy something to get paid. Every time you buy something from Amazon, you can get paid. So I'm gonna teach you in that class how to make money. I'm talking about if you buy a bar of soap, you can get a percentage of the soap you buy. So I'm going to teach you how to do that. So you got to make some money. Well, let me tell you. He's like, well, there ain't going to be nothing but a little bit of money. More than what you got. With your broke self. Now, I'm going to show you the greed of this nation. Bezos. Ain't that his name? Ain't he the owner? Bezos. I hope you watching me. This man is about to be the first trillionaire. Do y'all understand? Do y'all know how much $1 trillion is? Let me help you. $1 trillion is $100 million 10 times. That's a billion. $100 million 10 times. 1 billion. That's a lot of money. $1 billion. 10 times. Hello? It's $1 trillion. That's right. $100 billion. $100 billion. 10 times is $1 trillion. Which means he got enough money to get everybody in here, the whole world. He can get a whole world $1 million. And he'll still be a multi-billionaire.
That's right. That's a lot of money.
And we as a people, listen to me. Y'all got to hear me. Their profit come from us. We won't commit to nothing. You talk about Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks not getting up on the bus is not what got her seats. That was, she got on the bus and she didn't feel like getting up because she would die. She didn't want to do it. That's what the fuel was.
Right.
But what made the government respond was 389 days.
Yeah.
They say, we are not riding a bus. Guess why that won't happen with us? This generation. I ain't walking. Devil is a lie. They can talk all that stuff all they want to. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how much we'll have if we had black Uber? We don't stay committed. They told us July something, supposed to be Black Day, support a black business, support of this, George something, I don't know. This, listen, it's going to take more than a day.
Right.
You ain't going to affect no economy, not doing nothing. Don't go to Target for a year. I just hit your store. Y'all love Target. Who like Target? Who like Walmart? You know, Target is Walmart on another level. Ain't nothing wrong with Walmart now. Amen now. Amen. But guess what? We can't do that, watch this, because we don't have an alternative. Okay, all right, don't go to Target. All right, where I'm going to get my groceries? Show me a grocery store owned by us. Quiet church. Holy Ghost told me. He said, I want you to buy you some land. So I've been buying land. Then he said to me about 2 days ago, he said, buy a lot of land. Right? So I'm finna buy me a lot of land. And then he said, turn it into a cemetery. Now, do y'all know how much money the cemetery get? Because everybody going to die. So I was talking to the funeral people yesterday. I said, how many black-owned cemetery? They said, it ain't none.
My God.
Taking your money. You over there at Edgewood Cemetery. Hardage Giddens on that. Come in our neighborhood. Come in our community and bury our people. Because we don't own no land. I don't even know what this got to do with my message, but I'm a preacher anyway. We don't stick with nothing. Because we don't stick with nothing, we don't have nothing. That's why I said, oh, give me that book. That's why I said we need to come up with a Kingdom City Yellow Pages. Why? Because we got to learn to do business with each other. But I'm also going to tell you, I'm not going to do business with you just because you're black and you don't operate in excellence. I ain't going to let you do my hair and your hands is a mess. Won't you do my hair and I got to come to your raggedy bathroom. Get you a salon. It's a quiet church. Trying to come up with community so we can help each other. So we can invest in each other. So that we don't keep taking our money to another call. And listen to me. I'm not even making it a black and white thing. I'm telling you, we need to do business with Kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't even care if you white. If you white and in the Kingdom, I'm going to do business with you. Don't mind taking my money to Chick-fil-A. That's Kingdom.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me in here. I said, I don't mind. And let me tell you, I told y'all this morning, Chick-fil-A got the best customer service. If you complain, all they're going to say is, my pleasure. Something wrong with my chicken sandwich. Guess what they're going to do? You can keep the chicken sandwich you got, and they're going to give you another one. But let me come to your restaurant and complain about your chicken. I know how to cook chicken. I don't know what's wrong with you. You probably, your grandma can't cook, but I can cook chicken. We're not committed. We're not committed. We're not committed enough to say, if you dishonor my sister in the Lord, I can't do business with you. Let me show you how committed homosexuals are. They so committed that if one homosexual get mistreated in one restaurant, every homosexual chooses, I'm not going to that restaurant because we're going to show them you got to accept us. They are committed to the gay agenda. Now, how the gay agenda got more power than the Christian agenda? It's a quiet church. Slap your neighbor, say, God's calling you to commitment. Gave up his day job and say, I'm committed. Gotta do what I'm supposed to do. But if we're gonna do this, if we're gonna be a kingdom people, if we're gonna stick together, Jacksonville, KCC, you come to this church, you decide to be in part of this church, you say this way you want to be. Listen, the only way we going to work and take over this city, we have an assignment. We have a plan. We got an agenda. Our assignment is not to come in here every Sunday and hoba, ooh, blah, 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 blah. Your broke self. Bucking and can't pay nothing. Running all over the church and got nerve to get up, telling something, let me hold $20. You should have got that while you were bucking. The only way, somebody is tickled. The only way we are going to master and go to our next level and take over is we got to have a strategy. Somebody shout strategy. That's what happened. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Look at what it says. Then the king said unto me, what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor, send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father Sobekus, that I might build it. Come on. And the king said unto me, the queen sitting by, how long shall thy journey be? When you going to return? All right. What's your plan? Right. I know you want to go somewhere. Where you going?
Right.
How long you going for? What's your plan? All right. So it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a what? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I promise you, if you don't set no time to your goal, you will never accomplish it. You will keep on pushing it back. Procrastination is the enemy of time. Brother Khan preaching, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Broadcast with Prophet Brian Carn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Jacks in Jacksonville, Florida, every Sunday at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. and Thursdays and Fridays at 7 p.m. at 2104 North Main Street, Jacksonville, Florida, or at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information on our services, text the word Kingdom City, which is all one word, to the number 22828. That's Kingdom City to 22828. Or call 1-833-522-5433. You can also visit us online at kcccharlotte.org, kccjacks.org, or briancarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace, we're excited about your future.